here to speak about his latest novel, Hearts of Diamonds. Please welcome Dave Donaldson.
Thank you, Terry. You know, writing a novel is very much a journey, as someone has said, many occasions actually. And Heart of Diamonds was a journey for me. It's a high-concept thriller, not the type of thing I normally write about for Westchester Magazine or the business section of the Christian Science Monitor. But it has a television correspondent, a beautiful television correspondent, of course. It has a diamond-smuggling plot that implicates an American televangelist and the White House. And in a real flight of my imagination, it includes a U.S. military intervention into the Congo. Now, these are all things, I have to say, that I was not writing about things I know, I guess you could say, except, of course, in the ways that my research taught me. But the book's concept is based on a true story, believe it or not. It all started with a Time magazine article that I ran across from 1994 about an American televangelist whose name you might recognize. Anyone here ever hear of Pat Robertson? Founder of the 700 Club, one-time U.S. presidential candidate, and a charter member of the Billionaire Preachers Society. Pat Robertson owned diamond mines, gold mines, a 50,000-acre farm. He owned timber concessions. He was one of the major investors in the Democratic Republic of Congo when it was known as Zaire in 1994. All profitable operations, by the way. And he was partners with Mobutu Sese Seko, the kleptocrat who raped and pillaged his own nation for 32 years. And that was Pat Robertson's business partner. Well, when I ran across that story, there was too much irony there for me to pass up. That really was the foundation for a novel. So I spent a year reading and studying the history of the Congo, and then I started writing. And as I mentioned, this was a journey, and I mean a real journey. My wife, Nora, and I visited Central Africa twice to research the book, and I'd like to thank her for going along with me on my little excursions and for very much for keeping me out of trouble while I was there. I don't think it's any exaggeration to say that our trips to Africa really did change our lives. My journey to write Heart of Diamonds also led to a very deep involvement in the real fate of the people of the Democratic Republic of Congo and the very real humanitarian crisis that's going on today. The war in the Congo is the deadliest conflict since World War II. There have been nearly 6 million casualties in that war, over 5 million of them civilians. It's been going on for 15 years, and it's a struggle marked by some horrendous atrocities. It's one of the bloodiest, brutal conflicts you could ever hope to imagine. Learning about those conflicts and those atrocities led me to write passages such as the one I'm going to read today from early in the book, when we meet a character named Christophe, who's a 14-year-old boy, who's been captured and turned into a child soldier. And he tells the story of what happens the day he was captured to Dr. Jamie Tallon, who's one of the principal characters in the book. Once he started, Christophe talked softly but rapidly, as if he wanted to get the story over with. The Lunda Libre came in the morning. It was so early, no one had gone to the fields. We tried to run to the forest to hide, but there were too many of them, and they shot us and chopped us and beat us with clubs. The noise and the smoke, it was horrible. I ran with my mare and the baby, but she fell, her feet tangled in her pannier, and I couldn't pull her up. The soldiers grabbed me and held my arms. I tried to fight them, but they made me look at her anyway. I could not stop them. One soldier yanked the baby from my mare and threw him on the ground. When the baby cried, the big soldier kicked him like a football, and he flew through the air and bounced on the ground on the other side of the road, and then he lay still. His voice became more agitated. The other soldiers laughed. It was a big joke. He lifted his head, staring at something in the distance Jamie couldn't see. One man pulled my mare's pannier over her head. Another big soldier stomped on her until she stopped struggling. Then they all violated her, taking turns. One soldier kicked her between her legs before he stuck his thing into her. I tried to fight the soldiers holding me and yelled at them to stop hurting my mare, but they would not. And one hit me in the ground, and I got sick. My mare screamed. Then the big soldier cut off her sane with his machete. And then he violated her with the blade, and then she died in the dirt. I could not help her because they held me too hard. His head drooped. He took a deep, shuddering breath before he looked up. This kind of crime, this atrocity, occurs with an unbelievable frequency in the Congo today. This is a fictional passage, but it's based on very real news accounts that have been reported time and time again. Gang rape, just like the one that Christophe described, is used as a weapon of terror by all sides in the conflict. And believe me, there are many, many parties involved in this. If you've seen Lynn Nottage's Pulitzer Prize-nominated play Ruined, that's what this is about. It's believed that a Congolese woman is raped and mutilated in this way once every 12 minutes, 24 hours a day. The toll is in the thousands, and it's destroying the society of what could be one of the great nations on earth. Now, as I'm speaking about these atrocities, as I tour with Heart of Diamonds, and I've spoken to many colleges and bookstores and libraries, and thank those of you who have hosted me in Westchester, I'm often asked why we don't hear more about this. Does the media ignore the story? And I have to say, no, they don't. In fact, in the last few months, you've seen many stories about it in the Times and elsewhere. But basically, it's a story that's gone on for 15 years, and it really hasn't changed much. It's one of the great tragedies being played on the world stage that basically we sit by and watch. And it's not that Americans don't care about these things. It's just that we're inundated with headlines about oppressors and their rebels, about the floggings in Afghanistan and the open sore that's the Israeli-Palestinian relationship. We hear this time after time after time, and plus, this story is happening in Congo, which is one of the 53 nations that Americans assume are all alike in Africa. Isn't this the way they all live? And of course, that's not true. Let me give you three good reasons, because one of the other questions I'm asked often is, why should we care about what's going on here? As I was writing Heart of Diamonds, I did learn quite a lot about the Congo, and in my activities since then, have learned even more. For one thing, let me give you three good reasons why you should care about the Congo. If you're concerned about global warming, the Congo possesses the second largest tropical rainforest on Earth, 350 million acres of air-scrubbing trees, second only to the Amazon basin, one of the great assets that the world has to fight global warming. But, of course, it's disappearing at the rate of about 3 million acres a year. About 1% a year is being logged and turned into pulp and timber through illegal mining operations that would be prevented if the Congo were a stable society. And what's more, you know, for those of us that believe the world needs a clean source of energy, the Congo has enough hydroelectric potential to provide electricity for the entire continent of Africa, as well as most of southern Europe. But of course, it requires a stable society that hasn't been at war with itself to develop those kinds of resources. Secondly, if the health of the world's economy is of any concern to you, and who these days is not concerned about the economy in some way or another, you should hope that somehow the Congo one day achieves its potential. The Democratic Republic of Congo could be the engine that pulls Africa out of poverty. It possesses $25 trillion worth of natural wealth in the form of gold and diamonds, as in Heart of Diamonds, but also in oil, in platinum, in copper, in tin, in manganese, in cobalt, and in coltan, which is that little mineral that's used in every laptop and every cell phone in the world. The fighting that's been going on in the Congo for the last 15 years is over control of that $25 trillion worth of mineral resources. Just imagine how many jobs those resources could create and what ripple effect it would have to the economies of Africa if they were developed in a legal manner, and how much health and education could be provided to the people of Congo and elsewhere through the taxes that kind of a resource could develop. So that's the second reason that I think we should be concerned about the Congo. The third reason is we should care about the people of the Congo because, quite frankly, we're at least partly to blame for what's happening to them today. And that's one of the themes of Heart of Diamonds, by the way. Did you know that the United States was the first nation to officially recognize King Leopold's claim to ownership of an area the size of the United States east of the Mississippi called the Congo Free State? In 1885, we stepped up to the plate and said, King Leopold, it's yours. And we all know about the horrors that happened after that. And then Congo had a very brief period of about a year and a half when it did have a democratic government in 1960 when it was declared independent. But we were the people who put Mobutu Sese Seko into office. The United States decided that he was going to help us win the Cold War, so we put him into office where for 32 years he raped and pillaged his own people. And we supported him during that entire time. Now, there are other reasons that we should support the people of the Congo and pay attention to this crisis. You know, we were the people that armed and backed Rwanda and Uganda when they invaded Congo to start this war in 1998. That was, in essence, a large part of their support. America's hands are dirty in this war. And it's time, I think, that we atone for our sins and stand up and try to help these people. You know, it all comes down to this, as Nora and I found when we visited Africa and the many people that I've met since then. They're human beings just like we are. They have the same kind of aspirations. They want a better life for their children. They'd like to live in peace. They're not asking for prosperity, but they'd like to have a shot at it. They have the same desires that we have. All they want is to be treated like human beings instead of like slaves and chattels, to give their children a little better life. In other words, they want the same things we want, and quite frankly, I think that we owe it to them. Well, I thank you for coming along with me on this journey that started with Heart of Diamonds. I also thank you, by the way, very much for your support for Westchester's libraries.